It's time for my favorite hour of the week. It is time for My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and this week we're again joined by Marcus Edensky, a Viking that lives on Easter Island and knows the culture. He's a guide. You can find him at easterisland.travel. His company's called Easter Island Travel, and he's rated number one by TripAdvisor. So check out what he has there. You're going to like it. He is a really great guest. He took the time to talk to us. I just can't believe that we can talk to somebody that far away. Easter Island is 2,500 miles off the coast of Chile. And we're talking to him like he's in the same room. Yeah, okay, so there's some technical difficulties. That's why this one's recorded. But those things happen. So stay with us. What a joy it is to talk to Marcus and hear the things. Hopefully his chicken will make its presence known again. And we'll have some more fun talking to Marcus about the things on Easter Island. Some of the things I'm interested in, some of the things I'm sure you are. It's just one of those magical places on the earth that as a young man, I can still remember seeing a National Geographic as a little boy. I was probably three or four, or maybe it was a Life magazine, I don't remember. But I just remember those pictures of the Moai. And it absolutely stopped me in my tracks. I had to look. I had to know more about it. And to talk to somebody that's right there is really an honor and a privilege. And it's amazing that we have the technology to do that. And I don't know what amazes and amuses me more, that we can talk to somebody that far away or that they're in the same time zone. I can remember it wasn't that long ago when I was in high school, I'd get yelled at for talking to somebody in Idaho too long. Get off the phone, that's long distance. And now we can talk to somebody on Easter Island at no charge. It's a great place, great time to be alive. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be with Marcus Edensky in just a moment talking about Rapa Nui, Easter Island, on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and we're joined today by Marcus Edensky. He is the CEO of Easter Island Travel. You can find the things he does on his website, easterisland.travel. And I would encourage you to look that up and just see what's going on while we do this segment with him. Marcus, you've told us some wonderful things about Easter Island. A couple things that I'm still interested in we'll get to in this segment, and one of those is the walls, the rock walls, the structures that are so similar to what you'll find in Peru and Chile and Mexico and really right. All over the world. How do you think all that ties in together? How did Rapa Nui get the same type of structure as you get, you know, in other places all around the world? What tied them together, do you think?
Well, it's a very interesting question, Todd. If you don't mind me correcting you slightly, most of the Ahu platforms don't have much similarity to the work of the Inca Empire, let's say, you know, because most of the Ahu platforms, they are of a very simple design. They are simply naturally shaped rocks that people try to place together just as you as I would, you know, if we'd be at the same place, you know, building one of these platforms, you know. Though some of these blocks are very, very big, which requires a lot of knowledge of how to move these huge blocks of stone. But there are, I know that you've seen photos of this, I can see that, you know. There is particularly one rock wall that all of a sudden, among these hundreds of rock walls that are very basic, very simple, this one rock wall very much stands out. And it is engineered to perfection. And this is very surprising to see. You know, there is not really, we don't see evidence of a learning curve, you know, because this kind of work, you know, takes generations to perfect. And all of a sudden, we have this piece of masterpiece, you know. And this one has perfectly carved blocks of different shapes and sizes, and yeah, they do fit perfectly well, you know. So this rock wall, there are people who draw connections to the closest civilization that built rock walls of this quality, which would be the Inca Empire, which did, in fact, coexist with the high civilization of this island as well. You know, so some people say that, oh, it's purely local, you know, local, how they learned. I mean, they learned on their own, but I see that hard to accept. You know, I find that hard to accept.
Sure.
There must have been someone that came from the outside and taught them how to do this. I see no other possible solution, you know. So the question is, how did that happen? Well, as I mentioned, you know, the closest civilization that does something similar to this is the Inca Empire. So I'd be open to that possibility of having some contact with the Inca Empire. Polynesians, you know, when they came to this island 1,000 years ago, they were the best sailors in the world. At the time, they would travel back and forth between these islands. You know, the ocean back then, it was not a barrier. It was bridges. You know, they would go not only to this island, but they would continue to the continent of what today is Chile, of Latin America.
Okay.
And there have been findings, you know, in the south of Chile of a Polynesian skeleton, probably Rapa Nui. A complete skeleton that was found. It's DNA match. It's Polynesian, you know. And they have found as well chickens that lay blue eggs. Exactly the same chicken that was brought here 1,000 years ago and that we still have. My wife has it in our chicken coop, you know.
I heard
that
chicken.
The same chicken. Ah, is that real? Yeah. Yeah, many people hear them, you know. It doesn't matter how much money they pay here. To stay in the best hotel, they'll still hear them, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they were traveling all over, and sure, you know, why not travel to the Inca Empire back when it existed in the 1500s? There is one evidence, one piece of evidence of contact with the Inca Empire, a very strong piece, and that is the sweet potato. Sweet potato is part of the local cuisine. It's the most important part of the local cuisine here at this island. And the sweet potato, it is not of Asian origin, which is where the Polynesians come from 4,000 years ago. It is not originally from Asia or from Polynesia. It is from Latin America. So people came over there and they found the sweet potato, and the person that gave it to them told them Kumara. That is the name that was passed down through all of Polynesia. That's what we call the sweet potato, Kumara. And this word is actually a Quechua word, Quechua being the language of the Inca Empire that's still spoken today in great parts of Peru. You know? And this is a, to the Peruvians, Kumara is a variation of the sweet potato.
Okay.
They still use this word. And so that's either a direct or indirect contact between the Rapa Nui people and the Inca Empire. You know? Either the Rapa Nui people came over there directly and met them, or they received it from another Polynesian that had been over there. But looking at this rock wall that we're talking about, you know, this is the rock wall of Vinapu, the area of Vinapu. And the rock wall is called Ahutahira. And Ahutahira, you know, it's perfect. You know, so looking at the perfection of this rock wall, you know, I'd be open to the possibility that there would be that there was a direct contact between the Rapa Nui people and the Inca Empire. That possibly, yeah, the Polynesians, the Rapa Nui people went over there, and maybe they learned from the Inca Empire, you know, from the Incas, what they saw, their techniques. Inca techniques of making rock walls, or maybe they even took people back here that were Inca, you know,
okay.
And that they would teach them here how to make this quality, high quality rock wall. Some people say, you know, that there are still some that the Sacsayhuaman, for example, is better. It's bigger. This is an area in Peru and near Cusco. And it's true, it's bigger and better. But maybe they didn't bring the master carver over here from the Inca Empire. You know, maybe they brought adventurers that knew some of how to make these rock walls, you know, and then they would help the Rapa Nui. With the knowledge they had, they would make Ahu Tahira that we have here in Rapa Nui.
Okay.
So, it's a possibility.
Okay, I didn't realize there was just one wall that was like that. I thought there was multiple that were doing that. But even one is amazing.
Yeah. There are a few more walls as well that have been using that technique slightly. You know, there is one other wall as well, or a couple of walls on the north side of the island, quite inaccessible, but still they are very well carved, parts of them, but they're not as complete as Ahu Tahira. You know, you can see some sporadic influence of this high-level engineering all over the island at some places. You know, some places they have, to some extent, been shaping the rock wall, the blocks for a better fit. But Ahu Tahira is way over anything else that we have on the island.
Okay, very good. And I was also reading that there's a substantial amount of petroglyphs on the island, and you never hear about that. You hear about the Moai, but never about the petroglyphs. What can you tell us about the petroglyphs? We have a lot of petroglyphs in Utah, and it's a fascinating thing for us.
I do, yeah. Yeah, I see. Well, yeah, so the petroglyphs, they are like photographs, you know? So whenever, let's see, if we see something neat, you know, then the first thing we would do, we would take a photograph of that. There's this one petroglyph of a European ship, actually, at the stomach of a statue. And this statue is located in the quarry, in the statue quarry, where virtually all of the statues were made. 95% of the statues were made there. And, so this image of a European ship, it's just like a photograph, you know. It's like seeing a UFO. With the first thing we do, we'd take a photo with a phone, right, and put it on Facebook. And they would do the same thing. Not only the Facebook in this case would be a statue, you know. And, that's what the petroglyphs are, you know, recordings of events. For example, sometimes we may see out there at the island, you know, at the rocks in the countryside, images of tunas, and that would be a recording of the event of when they caught a big tuna and they made a feast, and they carved an image on the rock to remember this event. The same thing with the turtles, you know, and other things. So that's what they are. That's one kind of petroglyph. The other kind would be more religious kind. You know, images of the god Makemake, for example. Makemake, that was the almighty god that created the whole world according to the ancient traditions. So that's a very common petroglyph as well. And other things as well. We have very common petroglyphs. Petroglyph is the Komari and the Makemake as well. Yeah, the male and female, how do you say, genitalia.
Okay.
Right? Reproduction organs. That's a very common petroglyph as well. The Makemake symbol is actually, it's double, how do you say, it's both representing the god and also the male reproduction organ.
Okay. I need to look at those more closely. I just had barely heard about the petroglyphs recently.
Right.
And I guess maybe because the Moai are so unbelievable that, you know, they kind of dominate the conversation, but I think there's a lot with those petroglyphs too.
It's very true what you say. Many people, they come here, they're surprised to see how much this island has to offer that is not statue, you know, more than statue, you know. There's a lot. There are caves, there are incredible cave systems, as you say, the petroglyphs. And there is, of course, if you have this culture, you know, this great ancient civilization, they're going to leave behind a lot more things than only statues, you know, houses of different kinds, the graves, anything, everything, you know, the tools, these fiber cutting tools, obsidian.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Yeah, without question, just so many things to look at. And one of the things that fascinates me is just watching the stars at night. And I would imagine that being so far away from light at Rapa Nui, that if you got in the right place, the stars would be amazing at night.
Oh, they're so crisp. It's incredible. I've never seen the sky as clear as this one. On a clear, of course, being a subtropical climate, sometimes we do have clouds. But when we don't, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, that.
So, yeah, it's true.
That's the part that just, you know, in addition to all the many cool things, what I picture me doing is spending some nights somewhere a little bit out of town just watching the sky. I think
definitely.
It would own me. So, you know, you were talking about the clouds. Tell us about the weather in Rapa Nui. What would we expect as a visitor there?
Well, this is classified as a so-called subtropical climate. So at summer, the degrees they go up to, it's normally 29 degrees here in summer. 29, 30 degrees, it's very common. Yes, some clouds sometimes, quite cloudy sometimes. And so, summer, not so much. Summer being in February, and like December to March. And so in winter, the temperature goes down a bit, especially at night. You know, being a small island without trees, we don't have much insulation. So whenever the sun goes down, the heat blows out into the ocean, right? So then the temperature goes down a little bit to maybe quite a bit, actually, down to at night, maybe 13 degrees, 12 degrees even, and daytime 15, 16, 17. And then still in winter, we may have a very hot day as well, going up to maybe 24 degrees in winter even, when it's a very, very nice day,
okay,
Celsius.
Our listeners are probably having
rainy.
A heart attack because we do Fahrenheit here, and
they're hearing those
numbers, not realizing it's Celsius. Would you be able to translate that to us?
Yeah, and I'm going to have to Google how much 29 degrees is in Fahrenheit. It's 84, 85 degrees in summer.
Okay, there we go.
So, yeah. So, yeah, no worries, man. We can come in shorts.
Okay, that's the answer we're looking for, and maybe a light jacket for the evening.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So winter as well, long pants, raincoat in winter, because it rains quite a bit. Sometimes it rains quite a bit.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, Marcus, as we're getting close to being done here, would you like to talk about some of the music you do or more about your website? Or what would you like to talk about that way?
Well, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, we do, you know. We have this tour agency, you know, organizing trips to the island, tours. You know, we're quite well known for that. We have good reputation online, you know. We're rated as number one on TripAdvisor.
Yes.
Thanks to our happy clients, very nice people that have visited us. And yes, we do that, you know, mainly small group tours to have a more personal service, you know, maximum 8 people, what we do normally, and private tours as well. And we're happy to help people organize everything, you know. Give us the dates when you come. Just buy the air ticket and send us a message, and we can help you take care of everything. You know, we know the island. We know this place. So we can set you up with the hotel that's your kind of hotel that you're looking for, whatever kind it is, you know, and everything, really. Setting up with the entry fees and the tours and everything.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what we do. You know, that's what we do with our tour agency, Easter Island Travel. That's its name, at easterisland.travel, right?
As yes. You mentioned.
And also, except for that, we have a newly started business, which is a which fills a great necessity on the island locally, actually, more than anything else. It is a music store, where we have, this island is all about music. I mean, culturally, everyone here is a musician. You know, I've never heard a place where you can go to a, I've never been at such a place where you can have a group of people, just randomly selected people, and when you sing a song, it's actually in tune.
Oh.
Not only in tune, but people sing it, but people sing in voices.
Wow.
Just a second. yeah. My wife is mixing. Just mixing juice for some people that came. We have this cabin.
Very good. Yeah, I thought
it
was lunchtime.
yeah. No, not yet. So, where were we? Yeah, that, you know. So, we made this music shop because this island is all about music, you know. Everyone here is a musician. But still, people don't have a place where they can buy their strings, where they can buy their batteries for the guitar, you know, their guitar. Or they used to buy these things, you know, since 6 months back. So this new music store, you know, where you can buy local music as well, Rapa Nui music and local instruments and stuff like that. So this music shop, it's right on the main street. It's called Rapa Music.
Okay.
And that's our newest venture that we have going on. So that's what we do, you know, that's a livelihood.
Would we be able to buy, Rapa Music, local music through that, that we could put on our computer? Would we be able to download something from that?
Not yet. It's definitely happening in the future, you know, but yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
But
okay.
Definitely.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Well, Marcus, it sounds like you've got a great life in a great place. And really envy that you get to spend that much time there. It's incredible. I will definitely see you someday. I don't know how soon it will be.
Definitely.
I'm hoping soon, but I will definitely be out there.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And
I'll
for sure use Easter Island Travel when I do that and come out and do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we leave today?
No, I'd just like to thank you, you know, for reaching out, and it's been great fun this hour that we've been talking, you know, and look forward to seeing you whenever you come over.
Yeah, I will definitely make sure I do this through you, and we'll get together. This has been a great time with Marcus Edensky. He's the CEO of Easter Island Travel. You can find that at easterisland.travel. And we'll be right back with more My Side of the Universe in just a moment on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox, and we're joined today by Marcus Edensky. He is the CEO of Easter Island Travel. You can find the things he does on his website, easterisland.travel. And I would encourage you to look that up and just see what's going on while we do this segment with him. Marcus, you've told us some wonderful things about Easter Island. A couple things that I'm still interested in, we'll get to in this segment. And one of those is the walls, the rock walls, the structures that are so similar to what you'll find in Peru and Chile and Mexico and really all over the world. How do you think all that ties in together? How did Rapa Nui get the same type of structure as you get, you know, in other places all around the world? What tied them together, do you think?
Well, it's a very interesting question, Todd. If you don't mind me correcting you slightly, most of the Ahu platforms don't have much similarity to the work of the Inca Empire, let's say, you know, because most of the Ahu platforms, they are a very simple design, They are simply naturally shaped rocks that that people try to place together, just as you as I would, you know, if we'd be at the same place, you know, building one of these platforms, you know. Though some of these blocks are very, very big, which requires a lot of knowledge of how to move these huge blocks of stone. But there are, I know that you've seen photos of this. I can see that, you know. There is particularly one rock wall that all of a sudden, among these hundreds of rock walls that are very basic, very simple, this one rock wall very much stands out. And it is engineered to perfection. And this is, I mean, this is very surprising to see. You know, there's not really, we don't see evidence of a learning curve, you know, because this kind of work, you know, takes generations to perfect. And all of a sudden we have this piece of masterpiece, you know, and this one has perfectly carved blocks of different shapes and sizes. And yeah, they do fit perfectly well, you know. So this rock wall, there are people who draw connections to the closest civilization that built rock walls of this quality, which would be the Inca Empire, which did, in fact, coexist with the high civilization of this island as well. You know, so some people say that, oh, it's purely local, you know, local, how they learned. I mean, they learned on their own, but I see that hard to accept. You know, I find that hard to accept.
Sure.
There must have been someone that came from the outside and taught them how to do this. I see no other possible solution, you know. So the question is, how did that happen? Well, as I mentioned, you know, the closest civilization that does something similar to this is the Inca Empire. So I'd be open to that possibility of having some contact with the Inca Empire. Polynesians, you know, when they came to this island 1,000 years ago, they were the best sailors in the world at the time. They would travel back and forth between these islands, you know. The ocean back then, it was not a barrier, it was bridges, you know. They would go not only to this island, but they would continue to the continent of what today is Chile, of Latin America.
Okay.
And there have been findings, you know, in the south of Chile of a Polynesian skeleton, probably Rapa Nui, a complete skeleton that was found. It's DNA match. It's Polynesian, you know. And they have found as well chickens that lay blue eggs. Exactly the same chicken that was brought here 1,000 years ago and that we still have. My wife has it in our chicken coop, you know.
I heard that
the same chicken.
Ah,
it's not real, yeah. Yeah, many people hear them, you know. It doesn't matter how much money they pay here. To stay in the best hotel, they'll still hear them, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they were traveling all over, and sure, you know, why not travel to the Inca Empire back when it existed in the 1500s? There is one evidence, one piece of evidence of contact with the Inca Empire, a very strong piece, and that is the sweet potato. Sweet potato is part of the local cuisine. It's the most important part of the local cuisine here at this island. And the sweet potato, it is not of Asian origin, which is where the Polynesians come from 4,000 years ago. It is not originally from Asia or from Polynesia. It is from Latin America. So people came over there and they found the sweet potato, and the person that gave it to them told them Kumara. Kumara. That is the name that was passed down through all of Polynesia. That's what we call the sweet potato, Kumara. And this word is actually a Quechua word, Quechua being the language of the Inca Empire that's still spoken today in great parts of Peru. You know? And this is to the Peruvians, Kumara is a variation of the sweet potato. and they still use this word. And so that's either a direct or indirect contact between the Rapanui people and the Inca Empire. You know? Either the Rapanui people came over there directly and met them, or they received it from another Polynesian that had been over there. But looking at this rock wall that we're talking about, you know, this is the rock wall of Vinapu, the area of Vinapu. And the rock wall is called Ahutahida. And Ahutahida, you know, it's perfect. You know, so looking at the perfection of this rock wall, you know, I'd be open to the possibility that there would be that there was a direct contact between the Rapanui people and the Inca Empire. That possibly, yeah, the Polynesians, the Rapanui people went over there, and maybe they learned from the Inca Empire, you know, from the Incas, what they saw, their techniques, the Inca techniques of making rock walls, or maybe they even took people back here that were Inca, you know, and that they would teach them here how to make this quality, high-quality rock wall. Some people say, you know, that there are still some, that the Sacsayhuaman, for example, is better. It's bigger. This is an area in Peru, in near Cusco. And it's true, it's bigger and better. But maybe they didn't bring the master carver over here from the Inca Empire. You know, maybe they brought adventurers that knew some of how to make these rock walls, you know, and then they would help the Rapa Nui. With the knowledge they had, they would make Ahutahida that we have here in Rapa Nui.
Okay.
So, yeah, that, you know, it's a possibility.
Okay, I didn't realize there was just one wall that was like that. I thought there was multiple that were doing that. But even one is amazing.
Yeah. There are a few more walls as well that have been using that technique slightly. You know, there is one other wall as well, or a couple of walls on the north side of the island, quite inaccessible, but still they are very well carved, parts of them. But they're not as complete as Ahutahida. You know, you can sporadically see some sporadic influence of this high-level engineering all over the island at some places. You know, some places they have, to some extent, been shaping the rock wall, the blocks for a better fit. But Ahutahida is way over anything else that we have on the island.
Okay, very good. And I was also reading that there's a substantial amount of petroglyphs on the island, and you never hear about that. You hear about the Moai, but never about the petroglyphs. What can you tell us about the petroglyphs? We have a lot of petroglyphs in Utah, and it's a fascinating thing for us.
Ah, you do, yeah. I see. Well, yeah. So the petroglyphs, they are like photographs, you know. So whenever, let's see, if we see something neat, you know, then we would, the first thing we would do, we would take a photograph of that. There's this one petroglyph of a European ship, actually, at the stomach of a statue. And this statue is located in the quarry, in the statue quarry, where virtually all of the statues were made. 95% of the statues were made there. And, yeah, so this image of a European ship, it's just like a photograph, you know. It's like seeing a UFO. With the first thing we do, we'd take a photo with a phone, right, and put it on Facebook. And they would do the same thing. Not only the Facebook in this case would be a statue, you know. And, yeah, that's what the petroglyphs are, you know, recordings of events. For example, sometimes we may see out there at the island, you know, at the rocks in the countryside, images of tunas, and that would be a recording of the event of when they caught a big tuna and they made a feast, and they carved an image on the rock to remember this event. The same thing with the turtles, you know, and other things. So yeah, that's what they are. That's one kind of petroglyph. The other kind would be more religious kind. You know, images of the god Makemake, for example. Makemake, that was the almighty god that created the whole world according to the ancient traditions. So that's a very common petroglyph as well. And other things as well. We have very common petroglyphs. Petroglyph is the Komari and the the Makemake as well. Yeah, the male and female, how do you say, genitalia.
Okay.
Right? Reproduction organs. That's a very common petroglyph as well. The Makemake symbol is actually, it's double, how do you say, it's both representing the god and also the male reproduction organ.
Okay. I need to look at those more closely. I just had barely heard about the petroglyphs recently.
Right.
And I guess maybe because the Moai are so unbelievable that, you know, they kind of dominate the conversation. But I think there's a lot with those petroglyphs, too.
It's very true what you say. Many people, they come here, they're surprised to see how much this island has to offer that is not statue, you know, more than statue. You know, there's a lot. There are caves here, incredible cave systems, as you say, the petroglyphs. And there is, of course, if you have this culture, you know, this great ancient civilization, they're going to leave behind a lot more things than only statues, you know, houses of different kinds, graves, anything, everything, you know, tools, these fiber-cutting tools, obsidian,
yes,
a lot of things.
Yeah, without question, just so many things to look at. And one of the things that fascinates me is just watching the stars at night. And I would imagine that being so far away from light at Rapa Nui, that if you got in the right place, the stars would be amazing at night.
Oh, they're so crisp. It's incredible. I've never seen a sky as clear as this one. Of course, being a subtropical climate, sometimes we do have clouds. But when we don't, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's the part that just, you know, in addition to all the many cool things, what I picture me doing is spending some nights somewhere a little bit out of town just watching the sky. I think
definitely.
It would own me. So, you know, you were talking about the clouds. Tell us about the weather in Rapa Nui. What would we expect as a visitor there?
Well, this is classified as a so-called subtropical climate. So at summer, the degrees they go up to, it's normally 29 degrees here in summer. 29, 30 degrees, it's very common. Yes, some clouds sometimes, quite cloudy sometimes. And so, summer, not so much. Summer being in February, and like December to March. And so in winter, the temperature goes down a bit, especially at night. You know, being a small island without trees, we don't have much insulation. So whenever the sun goes down, the heat blows out into the ocean, right? So then the temperature goes down a little bit to maybe quite a bit, actually, down to at night, maybe 13 degrees, 12 degrees even, and daytime 15, 16, 17. And then still in winter, we may have a very hot day as well, going up to maybe 24 degrees in winter even, when it's a very, very nice day,
okay,
Celsius.
Our listeners are probably having a heart attack because we do Fahrenheit here. And
they're hearing those
numbers, not realizing it's Celsius. Would you be able to translate that to us?
And I'm going to have to Google how much 29 degrees is in Fahrenheit. It's 84, 85 degrees in summer.
Okay, there we go.
So, So, no worries, man. We can come in shorts.
Okay, that's the answer we're looking for, and maybe a light jacket for the evening.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so winter as well, long pants, raincoat in winter. Because it rains quite a bit. Sometimes it rains quite a bit.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, Marcus, as we're getting close to being done here, would you like to talk about some of the music you do or more about your website? Or what would you like to talk about that way?
Well, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, we do, you know. We have this tour agency, you know, organizing trips to the island, tours. You know, we're quite well known for that. have good reputation online, you know. We're rated as number one on TripAdvisor.
Yes.
Thanks to our happy clients, very nice people that have visited us. And yes, we do that, you know, mainly small group tours to have a more personal service, you know, maximum 8 people, what we do normally, and private tours as well. And
okay.
Yeah, we're happy to help people organize everything, you know, give us the dates when you come, just buy the air ticket and send us a message and we can help you take care of everything. You know, we know the island, we know this place, so we can set you up with the hotel that's your kind of hotel that you're looking for, whatever kind it is, you know, and everything really, setting up with the entry fees and the tours and everything.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what we do. You know, that's what we do with our tour agency, Easter Island Travel. That's its name, at easterisland.travel, right?
As yes. You mentioned.
And also, except for that, we have a newly started business, which is which fills a great necessity on the island locally, actually, more than anything else. It is a music shop, music store, where we have this island is all about music. I mean, culturally, everyone here is a musician. You know, I've never heard a place where you can go to a I've never been at such a place where you can have a group of people, just randomly selected people, and when you sing a song, it's actually in tune.
Oh.
Not only in tune, but people sing it, but people sing in voices.
Wow.
Just a second. yeah. My wife is mixing juice for some people that came. We have this cabin.
Very good. Yeah, I thought
all
maybe
right,
it was lunchtime.
Yeah. No, not yet. And so, where were we? Yeah, that, you know. So, we made this music shop because this island is all about music, you know. Everyone here is a musician. But still, people don't have a place where they can buy their strings, where they can buy their batteries for the guitar, you know, their guitar. Or they used to buy these things, you know. Since 6 months back. So this new music store, you know, where you can buy local music as well, Rapa Nui music and local instruments and stuff like that. So this music shop, it's right on the main street. It's called Rapa Music.
Okay.
And that's our newest venture that we have going on.
Does
that's what we do, you know. That's a livelihood.
Would we be able to buy, Rapa Music, local music through that that we could put on our computer? Would we be able to download something from that?
Not yet. It's definitely happening in the future, you know. But yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
But
okay.
Definitely.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Well,
Yeah.
Marcus, it sounds like you've got a great life in a great place. And really envy that you get to spend that much time there. It's incredible. I will definitely see you someday. I don't know how soon it will be.
Definitely.
I'm hoping soon, but I will definitely be out there.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And we'll
looking
I'll
forward to it.
For sure, use Easter Island Travel when I do that and come out and do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we leave today?
No, I'd just like to thank you, you know, for reaching out, and it's been great fun this hour that we've been talking, you know, and yeah, look forward to seeing you whenever you come over.
Yeah, I will definitely make sure I do this through you, and we'll get together. This has been a great time with Marcus Edensky. He's the CEO of Easter Island Travel. You can find that at easterisland.travel. And we'll be right back with more My Side of the Universe in just a moment on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. And my favorite hour of the week is almost over. The fastest hour of my week is almost over. we're just about done on my side of the universe for this week. Thank you for joining us each week. I had so much fun. I was borderline giddy being able to talk to somebody on Easter Island. And he didn't disappoint. Marcus Edensky was fantastic. And we'll talk to him some more next week on my side of the universe. And I want you all to remember, you matter. Until you multiply yourself by the speed of light squared, then you energy. We'll see you next week on my side of the universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.